Genesis chapter 4. When you find it, stand with me for the reading of the word. We'll do our very best tonight to get through this message. But there is a lot here tonight that we want to say, if the Lord will help us, that is. And if we don't get through this week, Lord's willing, if you don't take us home, we'll finish it next week if we don't get through it tonight. But we'll do our best to get through it tonight. But Genesis 4, and while you're finding that, I'm going to read Hebrews 12, verse 24. While you're finding Genesis chapter 4, I'll read to you Hebrews 12, verse 24. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Notice what I said there. In the book of Hebrews 12, 24, it says that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. Now Genesis chapter 4, verses 9, we'll start reading in verse, let's just back up to verse 8. And Cain talked with his brother Abel. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Notice that. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And I will use tonight for a subject, preaching a few minutes on this thought. The blood speaks. The blood speaks. If I had a subtitle, I would also call it the language of the blood. The language of the blood. Bow your heads tonight. Father, thank you for the great opportunity and privilege that God that we have to be in this place tonight to hear the word of God. God, help us tonight, God, to articulate the Word of God in the manner that you've given it unto me. Help me to say only those things that you want me to say. And God, anoint their ears to hear that the Word of God would fall on good, cultivated ground. Prepare the heart tonight for the message and the message for the heart. Help me, God, tonight. Lift me above my own abilities. God, help me to say nothing but what you would have me to say. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone shout a good hearty amen.
Amen.
You may be seated tonight. The blood speaks. Now we are living in the last days of time. It doesn't take a theologian or some kind of a brilliant scholar to understand that we are living in the last days. Violence is everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you see violence. Every time you open the newspaper, you read of violence. Every time you turn the television on and watch the news, you hear of violence. 20,000 murders every year in the United States alone is committed. And I wish I could tell you tonight it's going to get better, but honey, it ain't going to get better. It's only going to get worse. The first murder to ever take place on this planet that we know of was among the first family. Adam and Eve, Cain murdered his brother Abel. Now it appears from Genesis chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 that Cain and Abel were twins. The Bible said that Adam knew his wife Eve and they conceived and bare a son. One Cain and she bare another son named Abel. Now I've read a lot and studied a lot and every scholar that I read after seems to think that these boys were twins. Whether they were or not, we really don't know. But I tend to believe that they were because he knew his wife once and she bare twice. That just lets me know that they're probably twins. Cain and Abel. The Bible said Abel was a tiller, keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the Bible says that it came in the process of time that they went and offered up a sacrifice unto God. And the Bible said Abel offered up a lamb unto God, and God accepted his offering, but Cain offered up a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, and that offering was rejected. You see, one offering was bloody, while the other offering had no blood in it. And God can only accept that comes from blood. The Bible said we can only approach God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you've got to understand that both men, Cain and Abel, they were both taught of the sacrificial system. Because if you go back and find and read in Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that the Bible said that in chapter 3 that The serpent came into the garden and deceived Eve, and they partook of a fruit that they were forbidden not to take of. And sin came into this world. And the scripture says that Adam and Eve took fig leaves and sewed around their bodies because they were naked. And the Bible said that the Lord God Himself came and began to say, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where art thou? You know, as you read those words, those have got to be the saddest words that you can ever read in the Word of God. For the first time, God couldn't find His Adam. For the first time, God couldn't find His Adam. Adam, where art thou? You see, prior to this, God and Adam had a relationship. God would come down in the cool of the day. God would talk to Adam, and Adam would talk to God. They shared fellowship. They shared a union to one another. But this time, something was different. This time, God could not find His Adam. Adam, where art thou? And finally Adam said, Lord, we hid ourselves because we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you ate of the tree that I forbid you not to eat of? And Adam said, the woman you gave me, she caused this to happen. Ain't that the way humans are? We're always pointing the blame to everybody else. We never want to take responsibility for the things we do ourselves. She made me do it. He made me do it. And this is what I like the most. The devil made me do it.
Come on.
You know, I read somewhere some time ago where, I know this isn't true, but I read somewhere where the devil was sitting in a fetal position, sucking his thumb, crying. And somebody walked up to the old devil and said, what's wrong with you? Oh, he said, they're blaming me for things I haven't done. You know, the devil gets a lot of credit for the things he doesn't do. Oh, he does a lot, my dear brothers and sisters. But a lot of things we do because of our own flesh, our own desires. The Bible said he saw this tree and it was pleasant to the eyes and it felt good and to make one rise. So she gave in to her flesh and she ate of that forbidden fruit and sin entered into the veins of the human race. And the Bible said, God said to Adam, they were covered with fig leaves, and I like this. The Bible says that God, the Lord God, took a little lamb and slit its throat and began to pull the skin off of that lamb. Can you get the picture? You see, man now is away from God. Man's naked in the eyes of God. Sin destroys. Sin rips apart. Sin separates God from man. And here we see God in His love and in His mercy killing a little innocent lamb and taking the coats off of that lamb and putting it over man. Hallelujah. That was the first sign of redemption. Oh, I want to tell you, man may have messed up, but God still loved him enough to kill a little lamb and cover his nakedness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And can I tell you, those coats that God put around that man was a sign of the Son of God that was to come down the pike. Hallelujah. Let me say, listen to this. The Bible said in Genesis 3:21 that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. The making of coats and skins, God, in effect, was telling Adam and Eve that their fig leaves were insufficient. As well, He was teaching them that without the shedding of blood that pertained to the animals that gave their lives, which were a type of Christ, man cannot approach God. And the Bible said the Lord God furnished these coats. God, man did not furnish the coats, meaning salvation is totally comes through God and God alone. Man can't help himself. Man can't cover his own sins. If you're going to get your sin covered, you got to come to Jesus, the Son of God. He is the author of our salvation, and He is the finisher of our salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so here we see that God making an opportunity for man to come close to God now by killing that lamb, that innocent lamb, His blood being poured out, taking those skins, those warm skins, putting it around man. And if you go back to Genesis 3:15, every one of you that have a Bible, you ought to take a pen and underline Genesis 3:15. Because in Genesis 3:15 was the first scripture you'll find in the Word of God pointing to a Savior that was coming down the pike. For the Bible said, and I will put animosity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Hallelujah. You ought to underline that in the Bible, because he told Eve that you're going to bear, that coming through that human race will come one that will free her. And Eve knew that somewhere down the line there would come a Savior who would deliver her from her shame. Glory to God. And we find now in Genesis 4 that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain. You see, Cain, she thought, was going to be the promised redeemer, because God told him in Genesis 3:15 that she would bear seed, and her seed will bring deliverance. You see, you ought to grab a hold of that tonight. She didn't really understand all that God was saying, but see, the deliverance was going to come to her. You know, the devil would like to do everything that he can within his power to destroy the very thing God puts in us, because our own deliverance God has put inside of us. And the devil will do everything that he can within his power to destroy the deliverance that is inside of you. Hallelujah. And that is the grace of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Woo! Well, I'm feeling this tonight, whether you are or not. Well, glory.
Amen.
And so, the Bible says that Cain and Abel went to offer sacrifices. Abel offered up a lamb without spot unto the Lord for a sacrifice, and God accepted it. Because the lamb that he offered was a type of Christ, and God always accepts his son. Abel's offering was bloody, and we can approach God only through the blood. Now Cain offered up an offering from the fruit of the ground, which God rejected it because it was bloodless. Now listen, Cain and Abel both knew the sacrificial system. Cain knew the type of sacrifice God would accept, but he rebelled against God. He rebelled against the admonition and demanding that God accepts. He thought God would accept the labor of his hands. In other words, Cain was trying to work out his own salvation. And folks, let me tell you tonight, in the book of Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, for that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." Folks, can I tell you tonight, your salvation comes through God. You can't earn it, you can't do anything to get it. All you got to do is have faith in the Son of Almighty God. That's where your salvation comes through. Cain offered up fruit from the ground, and God rejected it. You see, Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain's was rejected. And Cain was very angry with his brother. Listen to this. Cain was very angry with his brother. Abel wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. He wanted to please God. And because Cain didn't want to walk in the ways that pleased God, he was bitter with his brother. Listen, church, there will be people who will rise up against us because of our dedication and commitment and thankfulness to God. Because we want to live holy and righteous and pure before God, because the other ones want to be half-hearted to the holy things of God. They will hate us. When you give your heart in totality to God and you make up your mind to live holy and righteous, when people that are around you, because they don't want to live that way, they will just say, he or she just thinks they're holier than thou. I've been around those people. They say, oh, she just thinks she's holier than thou. Uh-huh. Let me tell you, that's the spirit of Cain. Because they want to live right. Because they want to do what's right in the eyes of God. That brings out what's in them. They don't want to live holy and acceptable unto God. They want to live half-hearted. And so your dedication brings out their complacency out of them. And they just do everything they can to come against you. That is the spirit of Cain, and it's running rampant through the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You see, the Bible says that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him and murdered his own flesh and blood, murdered his brother without a cause. Listen, Cain's religion was too refined to kill a lamb. Notice that. Cain, his religion was too refined to kill a little lamb. But his religion was not too cultured to murder his brother. Think about that. His religion wouldn't let him kill a lamb, but his religion would let him kill his brother. You see, God's way of salvation fills the heart with love. Man's way of salvation inflames the heart with hatred. Religion has always been the greatest cause of bloodshed in this world. Religion, which Cain's offering was a type of, will rise up and kill that which is truly born of the Spirit that God puts in your heart. When God puts something in your heart, church, I can tell you religious people will do everything that they can to keep the thing from coming to fruition. When you have something in your heart, you know God has put it there, you know God has laid something in your bosom, and you know it's from God, and you tell somebody about it, and their religiosity will say it can't be done or it will never have been done that way before. But there comes a time in your life that you got to close your ears to all of the rhetoric out there that's saying you can't do it or it can't be done, and keep your ears open to the voice of God that says, I have laid it in your heart, and you can do all things through my Son. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. The Bible said God accepted Cain's offering. God accepted Abel's offering. Church, if God accepts what you're doing, then it really doesn't matter who rejects it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because if God rejects what you're doing, then it really doesn't matter who accepts it. But you've got to be sold out that God has placed in your heart what you're doing. And folks, if God is pleased with what you're doing, then let the world say that you're wrong, but you know you're right because God has accepted it. Hallelujah. Now, verse 10, we get tonight. The Bible says that Abel's blood was crying out. Abel's blood was crying out. What was his blood crying out for? What was his blood crying out for? His blood was crying out for vengeance and retribution. He was murdered by his brother. He wanted vengeance. He wanted retribution. He was murdered without a cause. And his blood was crying out for somebody to have vengeance on my life. But in Hebrews 12:24, we read that Jesus' blood that was shed on Calvary speaks of better things than that of Abel. You see, Abel's blood cried out for vengeance. His blood speaks out for vengeance and retribution. But the blood of Jesus speaks of mercy, healing, forgiveness, salvation, deliverance, safety, and security. Hallelujah to God. You see, Abel's, he was murdered. His blood cried out for somebody to take vengeance for him. But Jesus was murdered as well. But his blood didn't cry out for vengeance. His blood cried out that I've come to give you peace. I've come to give you healing. I've come to give you forgiveness and salvation and deliverance. Somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to praise God that Jesus' blood speaks of better things than that of Abel's. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, Jesus was murdered too. By what? Religious people.
Yep.
Abel was murdered by what? Religious people. Every problem in the Christian life is not always the devil, it's the religious people.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's religious people. Because they don't want to live wholeheartedly. And they're bitter at you because you do. And they'll always want to rise up to murder you. Now, the blood of Jesus still speaks. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Thank God tonight that the blood of Jesus still speaks. Now tonight, Numbers 35. You don't have to turn there or read it tonight. But write it down in your notes and go back home and read it when you have time. But in Numbers 35, verses 9 through 28, talks about six cities of refuge. How many of you tonight have ever heard of the six cities of refuge? Well, write it down, go home and read about it. But I'll preach it to you here tonight. Now, the six cities of refuge. Years before Israel entered into the promised land, the Lord instructed Moses to appoint six cities to be cities of refuge. These cities were strategically located throughout Palestine. If a man committed a murder or man committed manslaughter or caused an accidental death, he could run to the city of refuge and he would be safe there. You see, under the law, listen to me, folks. Under the law, if a person killed another person accidentally, the nearest relative would become what the Bible calls the avenger of blood. It was his duty to slay the slayer. Let me break it down this way. Alan and me go out into the woods to cut down a few trees. And I'm cutting the trees down with an axe, and that thing slips out of my hand, knocks Alan in the head, he dies. I did not mean to kill him, but I done it accidentally. Then Cameron would become the avenger of blood. Cameron would be out to kill me because the law said he could do that. But God made a way of an escape for an accidental death. He told Moses to put six cities in Israel, strategically planned, put. Meaning wherever you were at in Israel, you were only a day's journey from reaching one of those cities. And if I could get to that city before Cameron got to me, then I would be saved. Cameron wouldn't be allowed to go into that city and drag me out and cut my head off. I would be safe inside of that city, and when the high priest of that city died, then I would, by law, be free, and I would be free, and Cameron couldn't come and destroy me. See, God done that because he wanted a place of refuge for people who committed a sin accidentally. And listen tonight. Those six cities of refuge are a type of refuge that we have in Jesus Christ in his precious blood. And we need to thank God tonight there is a place we can go where the avenger, which is called the devil, cannot get to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is an enemy of hell out to destroy every one of us. I don't care who you are, the devil is out to destroy your life. His main purpose in life is to take you down, snuff you out, and drag your soul to a hell. But honey, let me tell you tonight, there is a place we can go where the devil cannot touch us, where the devil can't avenge us, where the devil can't harm us, and that is a refuge that we have in Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah! 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 Somebody ought to be shouting about right now. 2 Samuel 22:3 says, the Lord is my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. Psalms 99 says, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in a time of trouble. If you're oppressed here tonight, if you're in trouble, then God is a refuge for you. Isaiah 25:4 says, for thou hast been strength to the poor and a refuge from a storm and a shadow from the heat. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, honey, there's refuge in Jesus. There's a refuge in Jesus. All you got to do is get to him and stay with him, and you'll be sheltered from the enemy who's out to destroy. Woo! Glory to God. Now, those six cities, their names are very significant. The names of those cities are very significant. There's six names here that I want to go through real quick. The first name of the first city was called Kadesh, which means this. It means to pronounce clean. The first city of refuge is called Kadesh, which means to pronounce clean. What can wash away my sins? Nothing Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His blood pronounces us clean. Let me tell you tonight, your works don't make you clean. Your church attendance don't make you clean. Your offerings that you give to the Lord don't make you clean. Your giving don't make you clean. The only thing that makes us clean is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can go, you know, the Catholics, they go to the priest, but the priest can't make you clean. Your preacher can't make you clean. The only way that mankind can get clean from their sin is go to Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold through your vain conversation, but we are redeemed through the precious blood of the Lamb that has no spot and blemish." Hallelujah. I want to tell somebody tonight, maybe you're here and you're not right with God and you got sin in your life. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus Christ can pronounce you clean before you leave this building tonight. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus speaks loud and clear. We are free. We are free. We are free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blood is the theme of the entire Bible. There is a scarlet thread that runs through the pages of the entire Word of God. Well, glory to God. From the very beginning to the end, you'll find red in this book. There has always been a sacrifice, and Jesus was the supreme sacrifice who came and died. You see, the Bible said in Genesis 3, amen, verse 24, that God, amen, the Lord God slayed a little lamb, cut his throat, and his blood dropped on the ground, and took the scales, the skin off of the lamb, put it on Adam. All that typified of Jesus. You see, Jesus came and they beat him. They whipped him. Then they tied him to a post. And they ripped him to shreds. And they ripped his beard out of his face and crowned his head with a crown of thorns. And they nailed him to a tree. He went through all of that for you and me so I can be pronounced clean. So I can go free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can't work out your salvation. You can't come to church enough. You can't give enough. But all you got to do is believe in the sacrifice, believe in what Jesus done, and say, "Lord, help me. God, forgive me." And He will come, and it will be a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Woo! Praise God. Number two, the second city was called Shechem. Some people pronounce it Shechem, but it sounds to me more like Shechem. And it means this. It means to shoulder a load. To shoulder a load. Jesus wants to shoulder our load.
Yes.
1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all of your care upon Him, for He careth for you." The word "care" there in the Greek means anxiety, distractions, worries, hurts, fears, and failure. What he's saying is cast all your anxieties, cast all your distractions, cast all your worries, cast all your hurts, cast all your fears, cast all your failures on Him because He wants to shoulder your load. God cares about what you care about, and sometimes the load that we're carrying is too heavy for us. That's why He tells us in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye, for my burden is light." Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm just telling you, honey, sometimes the load that you're carrying is too much for you to bear. Why don't you take it and throw it on the shoulder of the Son of Almighty God? He can carry more than you ever thought about carrying. Take your fear, take your distraction, take your failures, place them on His shoulders and let Him carry it, because He's a God that wants to carry your loads.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Don't that sound good tonight?
Yes.
Amen.
That God wants to carry your loads?
Yes.
Sometimes we go through things that's just heart-rending. Heavy. Have you ever walked through a time of heaviness? And I know the Scripture said He'll never put more on us than we can bear. One man said, Lord, the cross you've given me is too heavy. And so the Lord took it off, throwed it in a closet. Then the Lord opened the closet back and said, well, pick you another one. And he said, oh, he looked around, found the smallest one in the closet. Grabbed it out. Jesus said, oh, that's fine, you can have it. But I just want you to know that's the one that you took off your back. Meaning he'll never give us more than we can bear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got lost loved ones, he cares about it. Oh, but he cares about your loved ones. He cares about our loved ones. Those things that near and dear to our heart, he cares about. Why? What makes you say that, preacher? Well, it says here in 1 Peter 5:7, he cares about it. But you also go back to the book of Matthew or Luke or Mark or John, either one. And it talks about a spear that pierced his heart when the soldier stabbed him, and it stabbed him in the side when it pierced his heart. That tells us that the blood that Jesus shed from his heart, is that covers everything that's near and dear to our hearts. Hallelujah. He wants to shoulder your load tonight. Why don't you give him your burden? Why don't you give him your load and allow him to carry it tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number three, the third city was called Bezer. Not like this. This city here, Bezer, means this. It means an inaccessible place or spot. It also means ungettable. But let me give you another type of word for it, which would be easier to understand. Simply means untouchable. Bezer means untouchable. As long as you and I stay covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are untouchable. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon. Everybody say no weapon.
No weapon.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just telling you, as long as you and I are covered in the blood of the Lamb, there's not a devil that can get us. There's not a demon that can touch us, because we are untouchable. There is a lot of weapons out there being formed against us, but as long as you and I are covered, there's not a demon that can touch us. We are untouchable. Somebody ought to shout that the devil can't get to us as long as we're covered by the blood. Shun the rumble, rumble. But those of you that are outside of the blood, you're open prey for the devil. You're open prey for the devil. But as long as the saint stays within the blood, I don't care what the devil, how bad he is, he can't touch us. We're untouchable. We're untouchables. Hallelujah. Number four. The fourth city is called Hebron, which means fellowship. The blood of Jesus brings us into fellowship with God. Woo! And church, let me tell you tonight what a privilege it is to be able to have fellowship with God.
Amen.
You see, Adam and Eve fell. They had a failure, and because of their failure, it caused us to be separated from God. But God loved man so much, he put a system in order called the sacrificial system, that if we approach God through the blood, we can approach him. But you know, in the Old Testament, only the high priest was able to go into the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt at, and offer blood, but that only once a year. But when Jesus came and died, his life did not rent the veil. His life on earth did not rent the veil. His death rent the veil. And when Jesus died, that veil that separated God from man was torn down forever and forever. The Bible said he broke down the middle wall of partition. Now we have a right and access into the fellowship of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Hallelujah. I'm glad every morning that I can go to God and have a little talk with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can go to God every day of my life and have fellowship with. Let me tell you, Grandpa, there's not a little fat man's legs just jerk. Glory to God!
Amen. Woo! Amen.
The Bible said in Colossians 1 and 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by Christ to reconcile all things unto himself. You see, folks, it's by blood. Never forget that. It's by blood. I know this message tonight is probably nothing new you never heard. But folks, I'm telling you, we need to get back to the basics. You know, I quit trying to get deep. I just want to preach Jesus and Him crucified. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And I believe that that message of Christ and Him crucified was good enough for Paul the Apostle. It better be good enough for the church of Jesus Christ. The problem with the modern church is that we got away from Christ and Him crucified. Now we've got into this doctrine of prosperity and gospel of this, gospel of that. But honey, the Bible said any other gospel that comes preaching a different Jesus than what I preached unto you is a different God. It's a different gospel. Rejected child of God if they're not preaching the cross, if they're not preaching the blood, if they're not preaching Jesus, run for your life. Get away from them. Don't listen to them. Run to some church, some preacher that has given you the word of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. One God. Glory to God. Don't hate me. I'm just a messenger boy. He gives me a message and I have no alternative but to preach it. I know what I have to say. Sometimes I labor over it. I labor over these things that God lays on my heart to say. Some of them are good and some statements are rough. But I have no alternative. Because I've got to preach of thus saith the Lord. I'm going to stand before God one of these days. I don't know how many times I've come behind this pulpit with a stern word. I don't do it because I come because and say those things that God's given me because I love you. I love humanity. I love mankind. I don't want to see one boy, one girl, one child die and go to hell. And it be my fault because I didn't show them the way through to Christ. God help the preacher that tells them that they can live any way they want to live and still make heaven. I heard a man say last night that he has a cousin that commits fornication. And the preacher's preaching that it's okay for them to do that as long as they pay their tithe and give their money. He believes it. He's bought into a lie. Now he's damned if God don't get through to him. God help the preacher. God give us preachers in this hour with a backbone as tough as a Texas saw log. That will stand up behind the sacred desk with a thus saith the Lord and point them to Jesus and point them to the cross and point them to Calvary, Mister. I want to say to you tonight, preacher, if you happen to cross the internet, I want to tell you tonight, get back to Jesus. Get back to Jesus. Get back to preaching the blood. Get back to the church of Jesus. Point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus. For He is the only way. He's not one in a million. He's not one in a thousand. He's not one in ten. He's not one in two. If there's only one way, He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Hallelujah. If you're going to come to heaven, you're going through the door. And He said, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I laid my life down for the sheep, glory to God. And I will come again.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everything Jesus did, He did to bring us into fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do I get excited? I get thrilled inside. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, the next city is called Golan. And it means joy. Do I get happy? Yes, ma'am, I do. I get thrilled inside. It gives me a joy to know that I've been set free. I've been brought out of captivity, and I can preach to others and show them the way to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there's a joy that comes in that heart that's been born again. There's a joy there that hell can't knock away, that hell can't steal, and the devil can't come in and corrupt. Is it always good? Is everything in my life always great? No. But there's a joy that's there regardless. Oh, I may be sick. I may get under the weather. I may just... Don't touch me today. I don't feel that great. But regardless of how this outward man feels, there's an inward man still has joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. There's an old song that says, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I'm on a boat. There's one thing about it. The world can't take it, but honey, I can give it to them. But I made up my mind. I'm like Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and 8. He said he purposed in his heart that he's not going to defile himself with the king's meat or the king's stuff. You see, Daniel was about 18 years of age at that time. He was held captive in Babylon. All these gods the Babylonians had, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those four boys stood up and said, I may be in Babylon, but thank God, Babylon's not going to get in me. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, honey, you may live in a world of sin, shame, and degradation, but that world of sin, shame, and degradation don't have to get in you. I may be in Babylon, but thank God, Babylon is not in me. Somebody ought to shout. Now that's just good preaching. That's just good preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why the devil does everything he can to get your joy. Because if he gets your joy, he's got your strength. Number 6 and my final point. The 6th city was called Ramoth. Ramoth means to be exalted. It also means to live in the heights. Did you get that? Church, Jesus will lift you up. Jesus will plant your feet on higher ground. Glory to God. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, He hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places. Are you hearing me tonight? Yeah, the Jesus Christ will exalt you. He'll cause you to live in the heights. He'll lift you up above the shadows of this world. He'll live in the heights. You'll live in heavenly places. We don't belong. I may be in this world, but I am not of it. But folks, I'm going to tell you, there's no limit to how far and how high that you can go in God. I'm going to tell you, the riches of God are on it. I'm telling you, there's just so much riches in Christ that you can't get them all. You know, my vocabulary is just not that good to tell you how high a man can go in God. I wish I could tell you, but I don't think the most genius man on this world could tell you and they try to articulate what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, folks, there's just no limit to where you can go. He wants you to go higher than you've ever been before. He wants you to go higher than you've ever been before. In closing, God wants to do a work within our lives. His blood still speaks tonight. What does His blood speak? What is His blood saying? His blood says, I want to take you higher. His blood says, I want to make you joyful. His blood says, I want to bring you into fellowship with God. His blood says, I want to make you untouchable. His blood says, I want to shoulder a load for you. His blood says, I want to pronounce you clean. Hallelujah! His blood speaks better things than that of Abel's.
Yes.
I know tonight I may have done a poor job trying to tell you what I wanted to tell you tonight. I may have not have brought it out the way that I really wanted to bring it out, but I believe you got it. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Father, thank you tonight for the language of the blood.